world that he gave his only Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. He was betrayed by Judas. And also to remember what happened the following day when he was so dreadfully tortured and put to death. But he didn't do it just for that reason. He did it so that we would also remember why he did it. It was something that he could have declined, something that he had within his power to prevent. And when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane previously, even asking, "Father, can I pass this cup by?" But nevertheless, he said, "Your will be done, not mine." Doesn't that get you in the heart? You know, this act demonstrates God's unreserved love for us, for humanity. Jesus on the cross, death on the cross was awful, and this was a prefigured, wasn't it, before then, by the ceremonies prior to his death in the temple. You remember they made sacrifices in the temple, the Israelites, slaughtering animals, sometimes a dove, sometimes as much as a bull, slaughtering it with their own hands. Can you imagine doing that? That depended, I think, vastly on how bad the sin was. And I think there was a table where, if you do this, you've got to sacrifice this and so on. Also, it depended on how much money they had, I think, how wealthy they were. These were emblems that prefigured then the awful way that Jesus would die. But more than that, it was to show mankind the awfulness of sin. So if you had to kill a bull because of something you've done, you'd be thinking seriously about it, wouldn't you? And I think that's why that happened. So this scene in the upper room, almost mournful, I've imagined. Jesus telling his disciples that he would not be with them much longer, that he was going somewhere, a place where they couldn't follow. One who they loved dearly, one who they've been following so long, learning from. For me, that's grief. I think they experienced grief. And I can imagine the disciples were in a state of desperate, what I call pre-loss, anticipating loss. Much the way we suffer pre-loss when we know of a loved one who's not long for this life and is approaching a time when they fall asleep in death. But because of what Jesus did, we have hope. Because Jesus overcame death and was resurrected, we have hope. Hope of being gloriously changed with incorruptible bodies and going on to live and walk with Jesus in heaven and in the new Jerusalem on the new earth, the earth made new. So this was not so much a mournful occasion. For us, I would say it was a joyous occasion. It was a preamble to the moment that when all our sins would be paid for. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but Jesus provided the means to pay that debt. He provided a way to conquer death. Wow, that's loud. He is Lord of the resurrection. He has the power to resurrect us. He sacrificed his love in the human form. He sacrificed himself in the human form. He went through such pain and anguish, physically and mentally, for us. And it said, isn't it, that no man can do more than to lay down his life for his fellows. That's what Jesus did for us. Imagine. There's a further point to this. It is by example that we can copy Jesus and lay down our lives in service to others. That isn't to say that we have to die necessarily, although I imagine that we might be called upon that in the tribulations to follow. Who knows? I know that people in the past, believers in the past, have had to do that. But that we should give our life to, our life and work for the service of Jesus. That's what he asks us to do, to lay down our life in that sense. For the furtherance of the preaching of the gospel and sharing this hope that Jesus has provided for humanity. To explaining the great controversy, we've been talking about it, haven't we, in our Sabbath school. And it's going on all the time. So, my brothers and sisters, when you take the emblems, when you place the bread in your mouth, do you chew it slowly or fast? What do you imagine is in your mouth? What are you thinking of as you eat? What do you envisage is in your mouth? What's in your mind? When I take the bread, it's almost as if Jesus' bones are in my mouth because the bread's quite crunchy. And I know that isn't so. But somehow it reinforces to me how he suffered physically for you and me. When you drink the wine, do you swallow it slowly or quickly? What, do you swish it around your mouth? What do you sense is in your mouth then? Well, the emblem represents his blood, doesn't it? Spilt for us. His death on the cross. What are you thinking when you're drinking the wine? What pictures form in your mind? For me, I'm almost in tears when I'm doing that. I picture the thorns on his head. I picture him on the cross, blood streaming from his hands, from his forehead, from the crown of thorns. Blood streaming from his feet, where they've nailed him to the cross. And finally, I see the spear thrust in his side by the Roman soldiers. And water and blood flowing out, indicating that Jesus in the body had truly died. He went through that for you and me. He had given up his life, thus fulfilling the prophecy that said his bones wouldn't be broken, because those crucified on the cross usually died because they suffocated. The feet were propped up when they were nailed on a little platform at an angle, and their knees bent slightly, and their hands stretched out above them high. If they had just hung there, they would suffocate. You can't breathe very well like that. And bearing in mind what they'd gone through before that point. So as they got weaker, they couldn't hold themselves up anymore, and they dropped, and they couldn't breathe, and they asphyxiated. Now, the Roman soldiers were not very patient people. So what they used to do to speed things up was break their legs. But of course, they didn't have to do that with Jesus, because Jesus gave his life up when he decided. And for us, in this ceremony of communion, we go through every quarter. It's, to my mind, the most powerful reminder of what is going on around us on earth and in heaven. This battle that is raging, the controversy between good and evil, between Satan and his evil angels, and between Jesus and his mighty righteous angels. It is for me, the tears are not of tears of sadness and a sense of feeling the pain of Jesus must have felt on the cross, but also of joy that he has provided us, that we can escape the wages of sin and enter into the joy of God's love. Not just when we die, but right now. His love empowering us to follow him. It was mentioned in the Sabbath school lesson, how can we do this? How can we overcome? He will empower you. Empowering us to keep the commandments when we're tempted to do something else. Giving us comfort. Although we know there is much persecution to come before the final day when Jesus will take us home. So, when you take the emblems, let's remember to thank God for his grace and for his forgiveness and for his provision for us, his people. Amen.